Once again, all eyes are on Israel, and specifically Jerusalem. President Trump authorized and then followed through on his promise to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Most of the world's nations shrieked in feigned horror at the thought of a sovereign nation desiring to have their diplomatic stations located in their capital. As hard as the world powers try, they are never able to overcome the Jewish nation. Surrounded by sworn enemies on every side, the nation of Israel continues to thrive in a world that increasingly denounces her. What must Christians do in times such as these? What does the Bible say about the nation of Israel and those who support and oppose her? Does Israel matter today to God? Stay tuned for my conversation with noted scholar, Middle East expert, and staunch supporter of the Nation of Israel, John McTernan, in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network, on Worldview Weekend Radio, on Talk America Radio, on the Objective Network on Spreaker. We're on the Fringe Radio Network, the Prepper Broadcasting Network, and of course you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. I'm joined today by John McTernan. He is the founder of Defend and Proclaim the Faith Ministries. He's the author of numerous books, including the series Only Jesus of Nazareth, God's Final Warning to America, When Jesus Sets You Free, and his most recent, As America Has Done to Israel. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, John.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, I appreciate you accepting the invitation. As we were chatting before we came on the air, I heard you recently on the Hagmans, and I knew immediately that I wanted to reach out to you, and I was blessed that you accepted the invitation. So thank you again. John, Israel is once again the focus of the entire world. Now, it doesn't seem like there's hardly two or three days that goes by when they're not, but the recent embassy move, it created a firestorm in the media, and well, I hate to phrase it like this, but this is the way I saw it, an almost comical hyperventilating from the world's leftists and those that hate Israel. Now, personally, I believe that it demonstrated a tremendous amount of courage and conviction by President Trump to follow through with his promise, because everybody said there's no way he's going to do that. But I believe this is one of many reasons that Christians continue to support President Trump, because he supports the things that matter to us in most instances. So my question to you, John, as we get into this conversation is, what's your view on the embassy move, both prophetically, geopolitically? How do you see this, and what do you see being a result of this? Maybe that's a good way to say it.
Well, It's when you talk about Israel, it's complicated. When you throw Jerusalem, in, it gets super complicated. It was the right thing to do according to the Bible. Jerusalem, there's a verse here that I want to share from scriptures, Zechariah 12:6. And Zechariah 12:6 is a time way off in the future from Zechariah. It's not talking about his day.
That's right.
It's talking about the coming day of the Lord. And it says, in that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. So at the end of time, that's before the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Jews are going to be back in the land. Jerusalem's going to be the capital. And when you look at verse 6, it indicates that they're going to be very powerful militarily. They're going to be able to devour all the people round about. And that's really the scenario that we have now right in front of us. Israel, I think one thing that's very important, and I try when I speak about Israel to do this, is to put into the setting of modern day Israel. It just so happens, my birthday is Monday. I was born this coming Monday, May 21st, 1948. So I'm almost born on Israel's birthday there. And I do make use of that when I speak publicly. I tell people two very important things happened in May 1948. The first one is the birth of Israel, but the second one is equally as important. Now, something happened. What? No one ever gets it. One pastor jumped up. He put on a seminar, and he was saying, all right, let me get it. It's something about the stars lining up, constellations lining up. And I said, no. I was born May 21st, 1948.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, man, I bought that hook, line, and sinker. He goes, yeah. But, okay, so I was born in May 1948. And, you know, when I begin to remember things, and I don't know how old I am, but watching the news, I can remember on the news report that the Syrians have artillery up on the Golan Heights, and they were shelling farmers down below on tractors. It was like target practice to see if they could shoot the farmers. So Israel was a nation. And for the vast majority of your listeners, when they were born, Israel was a nation, and it's to them, it's like always been there. But no, Israel's unique among all the nations because you go back to the covenant God made 4,000 years ago with Abraham. And then the city was declared the city for the Jews in about 1,000 B.C. with David. Excuse me. 1,000 B.C. And then in 600 B.C., the Babylonians came. And there's all sorts of prophecy about this. They destroyed Israel, the vast majority of the people. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple, and they took them. They were taken captive to Babylon. 70 years later, they came back, and they rebuilt the nation. They rebuilt the city. They rebuilt the temple, but they were no longer had kings. They were under the what the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. Then 600 years later, the Romans did the same thing. Oh, they destroyed Israel. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. In fact, on the same day, 600 years apart, when the Babylonians and the Romans came, they stopped the sacrifice in the temple on the 9th of Av. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And then the Jews were dispersed. There was always a remnant in Israel, always. But they were dispersed throughout the world. But the prophecies say they were going to come back into the land one day. So there's history in this, but in November of 1947, the UN declared the state of Israel. They recognized it pending the British withdrawing from the land. And in May, the British had fully evacuated. So on May 14th was the day in 1948 that Israel was declared a nation. The language was dead. Hebrew was a dead language used only in religious rituals. So here we have Israel is a nation again. This has never happened to any other nation. Never mind twice, going back to 2,600 years ago to the Babylonians. They speak Hebrew again. Hebrew was revived. And the capital is Jerusalem, like it was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. So this is no other nation like it. It's right out of the Bible. And God tells us that he's going to bring the Jewish people back into the land in mass. And the nation of Israel is going to be recreated. And that's going to occur before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So here we are. I mean, we're in 2018. And what is the focus of world attention this week? Jerusalem.
Yes, exactly. Now that's, folks, the point that John is making here is this is not a coincidence. It's not just a culmination of different variables and happenstance and chance. This is the result of God's providence, of his plan unfolding right in front of our eyes. All of this stuff is talked about in the scriptures, and that's why it's important, folks, to understand what the prophetic books are saying, to study prophecy. And I know that's not a very popular subject in some churches today, John. Perhaps you've heard this as well. Some churches are just teaching people today that, well, you don't need to know anything in the Old Testament because it's irrelevant. That only had to do with Israel and prophecy and those kinds of things. We don't need to be talking about that stuff. Let's just talk about the New Testament and let's be happy and don't worry. You've probably heard that too, haven't you?
Yeah. The problem with that is we know the first coming of Jesus Christ through the prophecies of the Old Testament. And we know the second coming of Jesus Christ through the prophecies of the Old Testament. Now, of course, there are some in the New Testament also. But without the Old Testament, how do we, the prophecies were there that he had to fulfill? Well, there's all sorts of prophecies in the Old Testament that show us the same setting of his first coming. Well, we now know the setting of his second coming because of the prophetic word.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, if we don't understand what the prophets Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah are saying, how in the world are we going to decipher what we're seeing today? So, yeah, I agree with you. Studying the Old Testament prophets and understanding prophecy is a key to understanding what's coming down the pike, and it certainly applies to what we're talking about.
Well, on the Lord's first coming, he just didn't drop out of the sky. I mean, born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. It's right there about his birth, his genealogy, his ministry, all about him going to the cross, why he's going to the cross. That was all there in the Old Testament. And it's the same. There's all sorts of scriptures about his second coming that tell us the scenario that will be in place for his second coming.
Yes, absolutely. Well, as I mentioned earlier, John, I know that you follow it well. And folks, let's just give the website now, John, before we get too far into this. So where can people go and keep up? Because you do a very good job posting articles and news and things like that, especially what's going on with Israel in the Middle East. What is the website they should go to?
Well, they go to usaprophecy.com, usaprophecy.com. And in there, I have access to my Facebook page and my blog. The blog is, both the blog and the Facebook are John McTernan's Insights. So I'm really cutting edge on Facebook and the blog. There might be a delay of a day or two or so, But if people want to keep on the cutting edge, that's what I do. And what I consider unique about my my blog and Facebook, Mike, is I shoot for about 8 to 10 articles a day, and I don't always get that, but I shoot for that. And quality. You know, I spend a lot of time reading through articles that I don't use, because I'm looking for like cutting edge stuff. I don't use filler. I'm looking for cutting edge stuff. So when I print something about Israel, Jerusalem, things like that, the reader is getting really good quality cutting edge information. And that's what I kind of, that's why I only post like 8 articles a day, because I do come across many more, but I don't want to put filler in there. I want stuff that's got meat on it. And I think I've been successful at it. So if people want to keep on the cutting edge, now it isn't only Israel. I mean, I'll put cutting edge things in about the economy. I'll put cutting thing edge in about what's going on in America, things involving in America that the church really should know about. I put that in there. Things about Russia, things about China. So, but I do, my primary focus is the Middle East, Israel, and then I look at Jerusalem as the bullseye, and the very center of the bullseye is the Temple Mount.
And I've spent the last several days on your site, John, and I will just echo what you've already said. I appreciate the information that you post, and folks, I think you will too. So go check that site out, John's blog, Facebook page, and get informed, because what you're going to get from you already know this, folks, but what you're going to get from the mainstream media, don't waste your time on that. Go to good sources like what John has here to get your information and your news.
Well, you're right. You're right, Mike. I get a lot of good information from the European newspapers, believe it or not, European sources, a lot from Jerusalem. And there are places here that I trust, but the mainstream, very seldom, unless it's something like a volcano exploding, you know, then I think it's real relevant, then I'll use main sources. Yeah. But they, you know, I'll post things today, and the mainstream media, if it picks it up or not, might be 2 weeks from now. And it's odd for me, because I'm saying, I already addressed that, you know, a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, right. So it looks odd to me, see that delay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so let's just follow that line of thinking, John. I'm looking at your site right now.
Which one are you in?
I'm on your insights.
The blog or yeah. the Facebook?
The blog. Yeah, I'm on the blog, and I didn't see this article. So you must have just posted this later in the day. Turkey urges Islamic world to unite against Israel, calls for a summit.
Yes, I posted that a little while ago. Yes.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, I study the Middle East really as much as anybody could, except a professional analyst, let's say. And it is so convoluted. It is so intertwined that it makes my head spin. Because, you know, at one time, like Turkey and so on, and this group are working together in Syria, and then later their enemies, and the ISIS is the enemy of Al Qaeda, and all of a sudden they join forces. I mean, so you get this, it's like a boiling cauldron in there. Now, I told you all that to say this: Turkey is a nation to be watched, and so is Iran. And the reason that they both are to be watched is they both want empires. Turkey wants to reestablish the Ottoman Empire, which it lost, by the way, really in 1917, and that's when Jerusalem fell to the British. The British really finished off at the end of World War I, the Ottoman Empire. And then Iran wants to recreate the Persian Empire, and they both want Jerusalem. It's amazing when you read them. They both want Jerusalem. There's something in the Muslim mind about Jerusalem, you know. And so they both want Jerusalem. Turkey wants to expand into Syria. Iran wants to take over Syria. And Iran has about an 80,000-man army in there right now. That's what the intelligence sources say. And what they're doing is they're setting up ammo depots, Iran is, and in it they have missiles and ammunition and artillery and all. They've been bringing it in for quite a while. And the Israelis just, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now, they attacked 50 positions, Iranian positions in Syria, and destroyed them all. There were massive explosions as these missiles went up. So this is real serious. We have these two players in there now, and Turkey wants to be leading the Muslims, nations. They want to take the lead, and that's all part of reestablishing the Ottoman Empire. So that's what they're doing. They are, in effect, calling for a caliphate. And a caliphate is a organized Islamic, we'll call it, the best way to explain it is if you look at the United States, we have a federal government, but many states. And that's what a caliphate would be with the Muslims. The Muslims, are the Arabs in particular, very tribal. And a caliphate would be like over all these tribes. So when the Muslims, after Muhammad died, and they spread rapidly throughout the North Africa into Europe, and then they went east to India, that was called a caliphate. The caliphate did it. So what they're looking for now is to reestablish a caliphate to destroy Israel, take Jerusalem, and literally they have dreams of the whole world becoming Islamic, especially Iran. They think the whole world is going to become Islamic under their leader, who is going to be called the Mahdi. And he is a Muslim, exalted Muslim, that'll come in the last days, the end of time, and he's going to lead Shiite Islam. They believe all Muslims will convert to Shiite Islam. They're going to conquer the world, and he is exalted like right under Muhammad. So you've got these religious fanaticism in there where they think they're going to conquer the world, and so you can't reason with people like that.
With your study of that, John, do you see any similarities between the Islamic Mahdi and what Christians call the Antichrist?
No, I don't. And this is a point of contention in prophecy circles.
Yes, that's why I ask it.
Yeah, and I look, if you believe he is, I'm not. It's no bone of contention with me, but people have written like kind of books on it and that.
Yes.
And that is a bone of contention.
Yeah,
now, here's why. Here's why. In my book, As America's Done to Israel, I have a chapter on this. There are two major battles, end time battles. Now, there could be more, but there are two listed in scriptures. And one is in Psalm 83, and I call it the Obadiah War. The book of Obadiah, it's a very small book. It's only 21 verses, but it's about the day of the Lord. It says it. It says it in Obadiah. It's about the day of the Lord, and that's the second coming of Jesus Christ, which we're in that season now because Israel's back as a nation and Jerusalem's the world focus. But in the first war, when you look at it, Egypt is obliterated, and it's by Israel, because I shared that verse earlier about Jerusalem and how Israel is going to be so powerful. And the Egyptians are driven into the world for 40 years, and after the Lord's coming, those that are believers in that will be brought back. Lebanon is completely destroyed. Jordan is completely destroyed. Iraq is completely destroyed. Excuse me, my voice. And so is Syria. Damascus, that's that famous scripture in Isaiah 17. Damascus is destroyed. And so the nations immediately around Israel are all destroyed. They're all Arab. They're all Muslim. And they're all, it's like the heart of Islam. When you get into Egypt, and especially Egypt, some of the major scholar centers of Islam are in Egypt. Damascus throughout history has been the major city in that area, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem only became important to the Muslims when the Jews came back. It's amazing when you study history. They ignored Jerusalem for centuries. It was Damascus that was the center, not Jerusalem. Under the Ottoman Empire, it was Damascus, which was the regional center, not Jerusalem. So there's this huge war coming. And I believe that God is going to break the back of Islam in this war. Islam is not going to be a viable religion. Now, hear me out, because people, and it's hard to believe, because when we look at the book of Revelation, when we look at Isaiah, it clearly says paganism is going to be the religion during the tribulation period, toward, in the end times. Paganism. You'll see that in Isaiah chapter 2, and you'll see it in Revelation chapter 9. And then in Isaiah 17, it says that the survivors of Syria are going to turn to the Lord. There's going to be a big turning to the survivors in Syria, and I believe the other countries, to the Lord. And when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, Egypt is not mentioned. Syria is not mentioned. Jordan is not mentioned. Edom is not mentioned. Iraq, which is Babylon, is not mentioned. And in Ezekiel's time, Babylon was the world power. But Revelation 13 tells us physical Babylon is going to be completely destroyed. So I believe there's a huge battle up front. If people were probably going to be known as World War III, and Islam is going to be broken in this war. And I don't think that the Mahdi is coming. Well, they may claim someone's the Mahdi, but he's not going to destroy Israel. He's not going to take Jerusalem and make it the center of a caliphate. And Islam is not going to take over the world. Paganism is going to be the world religion at the time of the Antichrist.
That's real easy to believe too, John, because we see a drastic rise in the number of spirit festivals all over the world.
Yes.
Burning Man has become quite the international.
Huge.
Yes. And right here in Ohio, I was told by my friend Carl Teichrib that there are a couple of pagan, they build themselves that way, pagan festivals that attract upwards of 30 to 50,000 people. That's just hard to believe. But but what you're saying is that that's going to continue on the rise, that Islam's going to be broken. And that does sound amazing to people. You understand when you say that, John, that sounds amazing to people because of the violence perpetrated by Islamists today. That's just hard for people to believe that it's going to be broken.
Well, this war that's coming is not going to be pretty. It's going to be violent.
Yes.
In a very short time, with the weapons of mass destruction now that are available, it's going to be very, very violent. Israel is going to be left standing because Israel has a covenant with God. And that's my belief. Now, as far as paganism, I've turned to Revelation 9:20, and this is what Revelation 9:20 says. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. That's classic paganism.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
So that's why I believe Islam's days are numbered. Now, I'll be 70 years old on Monday. And as a kid growing up, it would be hard. My tongue is tied. As a kid growing up and living virtually all my life up to 1990, with the specter of war with Russia and China, these big communist nations, the fall of Russia, communist Russia in East Europe, it'd be hard to believe. Now, China is no more communist today. In fact, it's probably more less communist than we are.
That's a statement.
it's a free market. Well, it's not exactly free because the government is manipulating it. But China's economy is not communist. They just use that as a central government to keep everybody under control and under their power. Probably the only place communism survives today is in the colleges in America. That's probably where it, and I know it survives.
Yeah.
But the idea when I was like in high school in the mid 60s of communism being obliterated and gone. I mean, we fought the Vietnam War. The was put out because, I know I was draft age and all. Well, we're going to save kind of the world from communism, a domino effect in the Middle East in the Far East. So that was viable. That was we believed it was a real threat. And now, like I said, it's in the college campuses in America. That's where communism really has root. So look what happened. Communism fell. It fell.
Yeah.
So the same thing can happen to Islam. If the Lord decrees it, it will happen.
So we've got Turkey saber rattling to the north. And Erdogan's been at this for several years now, so this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. We've got Iran to the east saber rattling, and now they've got the Russians in there helping. And right on Israel's border, we've got Hezbollah. Now, they've made a number of statements over the years that says that they will attack Israel, they will destroy Israel, they will wipe them off the face of the earth, and especially when it was announced, when President Trump announced he's moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Oh, man, you talk about the hot air coming from Hezbollah. Now, do you think that Hezbollah is stupid enough to attack Israel? Because one of the things, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, John, but didn't Secretary of State Mike Pompeo say matter-of-factly that if anybody harms Israel, if they come against Israel, try to harm Israel, then the United States will respond? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, well, he didn't say anybody. He was talking specifically about Iran.
Okay.
Specifically. Now, here's the thing about Hezbollah. Hezbollah has taken over. Again, this is this complication in the Middle East. Hezbollah comes from Iran, the soldiers there, the fighters. And one of the first things Ayatollah Khomeini did in 1979 when he came to power, he seeded, I guess you could call it, southern Lebanon with Hezbollah, which are Shiites. But Lebanon in 1979 was about even half Sunni Muslims and half Christians of some sort. And he wanted to have the presence in Lebanon so he could be, even back in 1979, on the Israeli border. That was the purpose. So Hezbollah is there. They're a surrogate of Iran. They are Shiites, but they've taken, literally taken over the country now. The government has been taken over by Hezbollah. They're turning the whole country into like a big pillbox against Israel. Israel has warned several times Hezbollah that the next war will be the last for Hezbollah, that they are going to finish Hezbollah off so it never can be rebuilt, and they're going to obliterate Lebanon. They've warned Lebanon, do not, I'll use the expression, get in bed with Hezbollah. The Lebanese, in their hatred for Israel, have linked up with Hezbollah, and Israel has warned them, we're going to obliterate you. We can't have these wars every so many years and have our northern border with Hezbollah and you an enemy up there. Lebanon is an enemy. Hezbollah is not strong enough to take on Israel. They can do some damage, but they're not strong enough. What was building, and it was so important that Israel took out these Iranian sites in Syria. There was a confederacy being built, being put together with Hezbollah, Iran, Syria. They were bringing in Shiite fighters from Iraq, and they, believe it or not, there are some Shiites in Western Afghanistan and Western Pakistan. They were kind of like mercenaries. They're bringing them in, and Iran was going to lead this all-out assault on Israel with that army that I just described to you. And Hezbollah was going to be a big part of it, just raining all the missiles they could down on Israel. So when Israel is keeping Iran at bay, Hezbollah really can't act. I would be surprised now if Hezbollah acted on its own, because Israel, by every account that I follow, has really sharpened its military. I mean, Israel is not the same army that it was even 10 years ago. I mean, it is sharp. It is fine-tuned, superior, incredible weapons. They now have our F-35s, which about in April, I think it was April or March, it was probably March, they flew a squadron of F-35s from Israel to Iran. Iran had no idea that the F-35s were there. They spent quite a bit of time over Iran photographing sensitive military positions and all. And then they came back completely undetected. No one detected them. And then they let Iran know it. They let Iran know this. So Iran has no defense against the Israelis F-35s. I mean, they can go there whenever they want, bomb whatever they want. So this is to take on Israel, they must have a confederation to do it. And by Israel keeping Iran weak, Hezbollah cannot do it unless out of desperation, unless they're going to attempt it out of desperation. But Israel will obliterate them. They told them they will. So it's amazing as you study this. Israel set up what would you call them? Their special ops penetrated into Lebanon. And they have these rocks, rocks. I'm gonna say it again. They have these rocks that look exactly like real rocks, but they're transmitters, and they have like sound and video on it. And they would go into these centers where Hezbollah was headquartered, and they're monitoring everything Hezbollah is doing, and they know where all they have everything GPS'd. So they know where all of these tunnels are that Hezbollah has and all these outlets for firing missiles. And the war starts. Israel's got all these GPS sites all set. And it's not like years ago where it took massive bombing. I mean, 9 out of 10 are direct hits. So in a very, very reasonably short time, Israel can, I mean, really get at the heart of Hezbollah and take out its main forces. Now, that's the type of technology they have.
John, hearing all this, and I'm just thinking as our listeners would think, how in the world can some Christians disregard the importance of Israel, both today, prophetically speaking, however you want to approach it? Hearing all of this, how can Christians say that there's nothing special, there's nothing significant about Israel, when clearly, John, Israel, if you want to know what's going on God's prophetic timeline or clock, however you want to describe it, all you got to do is look at Israel. Israel is God's time clock, aren't they?
Yeah, well, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 21:24, speaking of the Jews, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until, there's the big word, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So Jerusalem, to look at, it's like God's timepiece. He specifically highlighted Jerusalem. Yeah, now, it's a very good question you ask. And there's two reasons for it. There is doctrine, it's called replacement theology, and the church has replaced Israel. Now, it's a deadly doctrine, and the doctrine has been, you know, it was in existence going back, well, probably right back to the first century. And the God is finished with national Israel. You know, individual Jews can come to Christ. He's finished with national Israel. There's no more. He has nothing to do with national Israel. When they crucified Christ, that was the end of it. Now, the problem with that is Israel's a nation. You know, their doctrine is wrong. And then you get all of these type of screwy things. They're not real Jews. I've had people tell me, they're not real Jews in Israel. They're this and they're that. And I said, wait a second. In the 1930s and 40s, Hitler was killing them because they were Jews. I said, no one said, Adolf, what are you doing? They're not Jews. So these survivors go to Israel, and all of a sudden, they're not Jews. The Russian czars, the national sport of Russia was Jew killing and pogroms against the Jews. And that drove a lot of the early Jews in Israel from Russia, the immigrants, not the ones that lived there. So no one ever told the czar, the various czars, what are you doing? These aren't Jews. The question came up when they were in Israel, and all of a sudden they're not Jews. That's by people that have false doctrine, yes. And they won't give it up. Some of it is just outright Jew hating.
Yeah.
And they refuse to recognize Israel because of their prejudice inside. But both of them are deadly because these people are alienating themselves from God. There are curses that come down. The scriptures talk about it for people that come against Israel. Obadiah 1:15 says, for the day of the Lord is near upon all heathen, as thou hast done. And the context is Israel. As thou hast done to Israel, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall be upon thine own head. So if you bless the Jews and you bless Israel there, a blessing comes upon you. It's the reward is on your own head. If you don't, if you curse them and you come against God's prophetic plan, then the judgments that are there come upon us. And we don't escape because we're part of the church. There's, you know, a stove is hot, whether you're a believer or not. And if you put your hand on a hot stove, you're going to get burnt.
That's right.
Well, if you come against God's prophetic word, you're going to get burnt. So there's a lot of religious game playing in here on this, Mike. And it's very serious. It's very serious to come against God's prophetic word in the hour we live in. And I'll tell you another thing on this. It confuses the Jews. Because on one point, they look and they see all these people, particularly in America, all these believers in the Lord that support them, and they support Israel, and they want to be a blessing. Then they have the replacement theology crowd that is supporting the Palestinians.
Yes.
And so they say, well, what's going on? You know, on one hand, we have all these people that are supporting us. And on the other hand, we got people that are cursing us and supporting the Palestinians. So it is bringing confusion to the Israelis, but they're starting to be able to parse this now, Mike. I have a lot of contacts in Israel, and the Jews there, not the believers, but the non-believing Jews, they're starting to be able to distinguish between the true blessing Christians and then the replacement theology that are siding, as time goes on, they're siding more and more with the Palestinians.
Yes, well, that's very good news, John. I'm thrilled to hear that, because people that, and this is my opinion, people that subscribe to replacement theology, and it's interesting to me that they're always quick to say, but I'm not an anti-Semite. They always have to throw that out there, like, you know, we know exactly where this is leading, but that's not what I'm doing. I don't believe that God's promises are valid today for Israel. They belong to the church. Yada, yada, yada.
I asked those people, are they Jews in Israel? That's what I asked them, and I get the craziest types of answers that you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and as you pointed out, John, it's because there's some crazy heretical doctrine out there. It's not biblical. It's extra biblical. It's man oriented, and what the Bible calls that is doctrines of demons, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's 180 degrees off God's prophetic word, God's Holy Spirit didn't do that, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I could understand 100 years ago, people in replacement theology, well, you know, there's no Israel in existence. It isn't in sight. The area is malaria infested swamps, rock-hewn hills with no trees on it. Jerusalem was this really kind of forsaken city. And they said, well, how are the Jews ever going to come back? You know, how? I could kind of understand that, let's say, but there's no excuse today. There is no excuse, Mike, for these false doctrines now. They are exposed. And for people to hold on to this, in light of everything that's happening, in light of God's prophetic word, I mean, just moving now, and things are accelerating. They have no excuse, Mike, for their unbelief. None. In fact, their unbelief takes more unbelief than my faith, because all I can do is read the Bible and see, well, the Jews are coming back, and Jerusalem's going to be the capital, and this is going to happen. Then I look out, and, well, the Jews are back. Jerusalem's the capital, and God's prophetic word is moving forward according to his word.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got just a few minutes left, John. I wonder if you would talk to our listeners just briefly about your book, As America Has Done to Israel. And they can get this on your website, right?
Yes. Yes. Are you on my blog page now? Did you say you were?
I am, yes.
Okay. If you look over on the left column and just scan down, and you'll see a picture of Benjamin Netanyahu there, being given a picture of my book. Do you see that? Yeah. And the man that gave it to him spoke to him. It was a photo op, but he spoke to him a little bit about the book, and Netanyahu was excited, said he was going to read it. Whether he read it or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what an honor that my book was that was last November.
Yeah.
That was last November.
Smiling.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Looking right at it and smiling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what an honor that was, that the Benjamin Netanyahu would be given a copy of my book. The book is in three parts. I lay history out really in a sense like it's never been laid out before, American history, because America has a tremendous rich heritage with the Jewish people. Things astonishing that George Washington did and said for the Jewish people, the Jewish involvement in the American Revolution. It's just not taught. It's out there, but it's not taught. So I felt that America was greatly blessed as a nation throughout its history. Now, of course, we had sin and problems, but we were blessed because from the very beginning with George Washington, we blessed the Jewish people. So I lay that out in the book, and I lay out in our history how we had admirals that were Jewish and generals that were Jewish and senators that were Jewish, mayors that were Jewish, war heroes that were Jewish in the Civil War, for example. And in that, that we don't know that. In my thinking, kind of the Jewish influence in America started around the turn of the 20th century, 1900s. And I didn't know what happened before, so I felt it was very important for us to be grounded in how America was such a great blessing and how the Jews knew it. The American Jews were the envy of the Jewish world, with the freedoms and the blessings that they had here. And and I go into the church's influence in the creation of the modern state of Israel. No one knows that. I'll tell you who knows this. The replacement theology people that are against Israel. Seriously. They know the founding of Israel, the spiritual foundation, was from here in America. Some in Great Britain also. But the foundation was here in America. And so that's in the book. And then how America literally saved the Jewish movement during World War I from the Turks. And I explain how America, God just built up our Navy out of no place. And we had a Navy that could ferry the Jews out of Israel to Great Britain, not to Alexandria, Egypt, during World War I, because the Turks were going to destroy the Jews like they had just destroyed the Armenian Christians. So we don't know that. I go into World War II and leading up to it and the state of Israel and how we were, America was intricately involved in it. God literally used us. The way things happened, if there was no America, there would be no state of Israel. Now, God would do it some other way, but his plan was for America to be there. So I lay that all out because I feel it encourages us. It really strengthens us. We have this heritage, and a heritage has been stolen. And in the book, I'm kind of restoring the heritage that we have. Then I go into current events, starting with President Bush Sr., bullying Israel to divide the land, to divide Jerusalem, and incredible disasters hit America on these days. Yeah. So I lay that all out in the book, and I show example after example after example of same-day events. And then in the third part, I go into prophecy. And really what I wrote, because I've been preaching this for 20 years now or more, but when I lay out about Hamas and Hezbollah, and the what's going to happen with them and what's going to happen with Egypt. Basically, I lay out the first war, which you spoke about earlier. I'll talk about a Muslim civil war that has to come. And then I go into Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then about the Lord's coming for his church and his second coming. So it's a broad overview, third part of the book. So it's kind of unique. You get history, current events, and then prophecy.
Excellent. Excellent. Folks, the book is As America Has Done to Israel. You need to go to John's site and get that. defendproclaimthefaith.org/blog. And of course, it's probably available on Amazon and all the normal places too, John.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it is. It is.
I want to mention one more thing, John, before I let you go. And let me say this, John, we've got so much more that we need to chat about. So let's do this again.
Yeah. If you want an update or any issues you want to talk about, just contact me and we can set up a schedule.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'd love to talk to you. Now you're out of Ohio.
Yeah. I'm in Ohio. So, same time zone. So that's a good thing. So we don't have to adjust our schedules at all. One other thing I wanted to mention for our listeners, though, John, you have a live teaching program, and I think that's Sunday through Thursday evenings.
Well, what I'm doing is right as I finish with you now, I'm going over, I am live on Facebook and on my, on YouTube, and where I have a ministry that is for praying for healing the brokenhearted. It's something the church has dropped the ball on. It's like, right out of Luke 4:18, where it says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And so many people are suffering and they're not getting victory in their life. It's because they have a broken heart. So what I've done, I've gone live now, so I can reach a lot of people, and it's a worldwide ministry. It's amazing what's happening, but we're seeing incredible results of people's hearts being healed and them being set free from lifetime depression, panic attacks, terror. It's just amazing to see God respond to the healing the broken heart. So anybody can go to my website and find my YouTube page and or my Facebook page, and you can join it. And then I give people can contact me. I pray individually with people. So I do that Wednesday and Thursday night. Saturday night, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that the outpouring can go right up to the Lord coming for us. Amen. So I'm excited about that. Sunday night is my news night. We go over news in light of Bible prophecy. That's called Looking for the Blessed Hope. And then Tuesday night is Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews right now.
Perfect. Well, there you go, folks. If you're looking for fellowship, Bible study, prayer, and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you got to check John out.
Thank
you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. God bless you and all your listeners. And I hope we can talk again soon.
Amen, brother. We will do that.
All right. God bless you, Mike.
Song Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, Pastor Mike at woh.rr.com.